This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710 and seattlesports.com. Hopefully, everybody's having a great day out there. It is opening day eve happening right now. Lots of excitement, lots of baseball talk going on. We'll get into all of that. You guys can text in throughout the show, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. So everybody's feeling it. They've got people lining up at T-Mobile Park right now to watch the Mariners go through some skills competition thing they're doing out there. And you see the excitement, Dave. Lines. People standing in line for that right now. How about that?
That's, I guess, could be predicted. There's lots of hungry fans out there and just ready to continue to pick up where they left off last year. You forget. They won a series.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like they just made it, and we've been talking about that. They made it into the playoffs for the first time in, what, 20, 21, 22 years, whatever.
Felt like 50.
You won. You beat Toronto and moved on. And so, you know, yeah, I know it was disappointing losing to the Astros, but still, that's, yeah, there's a lot of anticipation for this. For the season, we were down there and talked to all the guys. What an easy team to root for.
Yeah, very easy. Just a collection of great guys, and hopefully that translates to great baseball, because it's certainly two different things. But they, listen, back-to-back years of 90 wins, and I feel like this is a better team than they were last year. So this is, you know, health is always the caveat. You throw that out for, if healthy, then you make your prediction. But it's, yeah, there's no shortage of enthusiasm and optimism surrounding this team right now. And we'll get into all of that. Matt Underwood, who is the Guardians TV play-by-play man, will join us at 4 o'clock, give a little preview as they open the season with the Guardians coming to town for a four-game series beginning tomorrow. So we will talk to him. Meanwhile, some news happened while you were away, Dave. The Seattle Seahawks brought back a familiar name in Bobby Wagner. First of all, how surprised are you that that actually happened? Obviously, we talked about it a ton. We asked John Schneider about it. Quandre Diggs was walking around with a big poster, bring Bobby back. He was marching in the streets, you know, to anybody that would listen. He was shouting, and he got his wish.
Well, KJ, too.
KJ, but not to the – Quandre was the king. Yeah. I mean, it was not close.
Well, I thought the chances I thought it would happen, I thought it was 50-50. You know, and I feel like, you know, it maybe more of a Pete move than a John Schneider move. If I was predicting, I don't know that, but, and, you know, I haven't heard anything from John. We'll talk to him tomorrow and see, you know, why that made sense. That's not a lot of money. $7 million.
$7 million.
I mean, these days, to bring back a guy in, for his 12th year, who has pretty much played, Mike and I were looking at his snap counts. And by the way, I think this is something, there's going to have to be some things that change. And one of them is his snap counts, because it was 98% last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a point of pride with Bobby. But no offense to him, going into your 12th year, I mean, you can't have that. You can't have him out there for, and also, you know, if it's like short yardage and things like that, that's not his game. You know, and this is kind of where I've gotten comfortable with it, is that, first of all, I mean, he's a great player. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's a great leader, all that stuff. But his game has not been one of being physical. It's more about, and I'm not trying to say, you know, saying finesse as far as a linebacker goes. Maybe most linebackers don't take that as a compliment. But, you know, I think You've got to shave his snap counts down. He mm-hmm. can't be out there 100% of the time. The other thing is, use him as a blitzer. He is the best second-level linebacker blitzing the quarterback in the NFL. So if you can use him to his strengths, I think that's, you know, I don't think you put him in on heavy rundowns. I think that you put him in when you need his, I mean, he's got great ball skills. And like I said, he's one of the best blitzing linebackers, and he's good at hiding it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's where I'm like, okay, I can see that. I can see that they need the leadership, things like that. Another thing that occurred to me, maybe this move allows them to draft Jalen Carter. Maybe him being his, you know, himself, like as a leader and a guy that can take somebody under their wing and bring him along. I mean, Bobby's almost like a coach out there. Maybe maybe that's, and maybe it's not as bad as we think about the Jalen Carter thing, but maybe that also clears the way for something like that, that Bobby Wagner is going to show this guy the ropes, which there couldn't be any more that's a better professional. Say what you will about Bobby's play, his style of play, things like that, but I don't think there's any refuting that he is a leader.
Do you think there's a chance they kind of kept an eye on how the Rams used him last year and said, you know what, we could do that. We could be more aggressive in sending him. We could, because he had a career high 6 sacks last year. The last 2 years combined with Seattle, he had 7. So he clearly was being used in a different way or was much more effective.
Right.
We weren't watching every Ram game, or at least I wasn't. So I don't know how differently they used him as compared to here. But do you think they took something from what he did with the Rams and said, okay, there's a way to maximize what he's still got in the tank, what we can do with him and make him impactful?
Absolutely. And you know what? At the beginning of last year, what was the first game of the year? I sent you guys videos of the Bills game when they played. And what he did, he slipped blocks. And Bobby does that. And what that means is, you know, if the play is flowing to the sidelines and you have to hit the blocker on the sideline side of him, he would try to dip under to the inside and then run out. And you have to be very quick to make that play.
Otherwise, the guy gets by you.
Right. Otherwise, you're basically giving up the gap.
Yeah, you're opening the door there for him.
Yeah,
right?
You're opening the gap for, you know, everybody else has their gap, and you've kind of deserted your gap.
Yeah.
I didn't see him do that the rest of the year, so I think they changed that. I think the Rams said, no more. No more. So, you know, I think, and look, and what that is, that's like a changeup for a pitcher. You don't do that every time. You do it, you go up and you smash the guard 2-3 times, then you slip him. You know, maybe one of the best plays I made in the NFL was that. And Keith Butler taught me how to do that. But he told me, if you do that, you better get there because everybody else has their gap and you desert your gap. So I think they cut that part down. I was like, okay. And so he didn't do that I saw anyway, the rest of the season. So, I mean, yeah, there's lots of things I think positive, but I would say, you know, right now I remember Paul Moyer saying this about Sean Alexander. Sean Alexander was not going to put his head down and run somebody over on the sidelines. He just wasn't.
Unless he's in the red zone. he was different between the 20s, man. He really was.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I think, you know, we've talked to players like Chris Carson, like,
right,
maybe you should just step out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Sean wasn't going to do that. But I remember Moyer saying, well, don't judge him, you know, on that. You know, just appreciate him for who he is.
Right.
And I think that's what you have to look at with Bobby. I mean, he's a playmaker. Look at his stats, you know, but he's a great leader. But, you know, to me, I just think this is a fact that he is not a downhill, smash you in the mouth type of linebacker.
How does the group look when Jordan Brooks is healthy? They signed Devin Bush, they signed Bobby. Jordan Brooks comes back healthy whenever that is, week 2, week 10, week 5, who knows? Maybe starts the season, but he's the mic. He's your future.
Yeah.
So I've got to assume they sat Bobby down, had a conversation that said, hey, you're the guy in that spot. You've got the experience. We can trust you. We know, you know, you're going to do the right things. But when Jordan comes back, here's what we're going to do. I mean, there's got to be that cutout in there, right? That they
sure. I agree, and I think Bobby would be fine with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's not going to. I mean, he went to L.A. for a year. He's coming back. You're basically here to be a leader and bring Brooks along as a leader, and you know, maybe help him be. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if Brooks is ever going to be that kind of verbal leader, but he's a leader by example. But yeah, I don't think he's coming back thinking, okay, I'm going to run the show. I'm going to, you know, wear the green dot or whatever. Which, you know. Moyer was making fun of that the other day. He was like, yeah.
The green dot?
Yeah. He's like, if we were in a huddle together, you would have worn the green dot. That's what Paul said to me.
With disdain.
Yes.
You?
But, no, but yeah, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, I think that's something that it's almost symbolic that you need to give that.
You're the general out there. You're the leader.
Brooks. Right.
Matt Hasselbeck was on with Brock and Salk and just talked about Bobby being able to play well. but it's got to be the right scheme for him.
You know, I think Bobby can definitely play in the right scheme, in the right system. You know, when you get older as a middle linebacker, you prefer to play 9-on-7 and not 7-on-7. And so the scheme's got to kind of protect you. The guys that you're, you know, playing next to got to work in unison. The safety's got to work in unison so that you're not sort of isolated all the time. You know, because that's the thing. Like when you're a little bit older, people are going to try to isolate you and see if you still got it.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, that's something that's not Bobby's game. So, like he said, 9-on-7 is a run drill where you have everybody except for your corners mm-hmm. out there. And then 7-on-7 obviously is a passing deal. But, yeah, I think that's kind of what they're going to be able to use him in a way, I think, that just maximizes paying, you know, a guy who's going to be a Hall of Famer $7 million. The other thing is kind of really it looks like that didn't really bother him that much. If he's willing to come back the way that they released him last year and everything that, and then, you know, we even heard him and we knew it was a Michael Jordan thing that before the game, he was going to drum up all of the stuff that they disrespected me and things like that. And I don't think he really deep down thought that because that's the price you pay when you're your own agent.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, he's done pretty well for himself.
Yeah, yeah, you've seen both sides of it. You could look at the Lamar situation and go, it's not going well being right. your own agent. But Bobby's the other side of it going, he worked out a nice deal with the Seahawks, worked out a nice deal with the Rams. Now he's got this deal. I don't know if he had an agent that he would have gotten much more, if any more at all, this year, you know, based on his age and everything. So, yeah, he's done a nice job with it. He's in column A for reasons why you become your own agent, and then maybe Lamar's in the other column for reasons why you don't become your own agent.
Right.
So, yeah. One quick text I want to throw your way before we move on here. 253 saying, let's hold off on calling Jordan Brooks the future. He's been disappointing so far. You agree with that? I guess I'd have to ask what's been disappointing about you. You thought he'd be more impactful, he'd be more of a big play guy, because he's been a pretty solid player. The injuries certainly is disappointing, but am I wrong about that on Jordan Brooks?
No, I don't. I mean, what are your expectations? He makes lots of tackles. He's very physical. The one thing is he doesn't play necessarily. His style of play, he's not around the ball a lot. He doesn't have a lot of those kind of stats. Like, you know, you look at the Patrick Queen guy that got selected after him. He's got like a touchdown and he's got a bunch of fumble recoveries and sacks and things like that. Jordan doesn't have that, but I don't think that makes him a disappointment. I think it makes him a very solid player that you picked in the first round. And I think wherever they got him was it 27th.
Yeah, it was the lower end. And I feel like he's played the way you've talked about and others have said, that's how you have to play linebacker. You've got to take on blocks. You can't sit there and as you talked about, try to slip blocks or, you know, that he's an aggressive downhill guy that was kind of missing. And they got that. And maybe it's not the flash stats. Maybe it's not the sacks or interceptions. But he seems more that traditional, just that's what we need. We need that tough-nosed guy who's running downhill. He's aggressive as heck, and he's looking. He's going to take on the blocks. He's not catching them.
Well, and somebody texting something like that, what were your expectations? I mean, he played well in a bad defense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what your expectations are. Maybe making plays. Maybe you thought he was going to be the next Bobby Wagner. But
this defense was pretty stinky for a few years with Bobby being a part of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a group effort out there is the point. I feel like he's done his job. Is he the best linebacker in the league? No, but I don't think he's a weak link either. I don't look at him as a liability by any stretch. I would certainly not call him a disappointment, in my opinion.
I don't even think you're having that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, so if the 253, if we just ignore him or just act like that never happened.
I did. Just forget I mentioned that text. Yeah. I just want to get your response to that.
No, it's good. It's a good one. I just don't think that that's a thing. I don't think you should think that.
Okay. A reminder, celebrate Mariners opening day by joining us at our live broadcast. We're going to be outside the left field gates at T-Mobile Park tomorrow. We'll be starting with Bump and Stacy at 10 a.m. And then this show, Wyman and Bob, taking you all the way up to the pregame show at 6 p.m. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Everybody's already gathering out. Some people may just spend the night that are out there right now. They may just sleep there. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So come hang out with us, say hello, and get ready for what will hopefully be a tremendous Mariner season. On top of that, Show us you've got the Seattle Sports app downloaded on your phone. You'll be entered to win a gift card or prize packs from the Mariners team store. And it's, as I said yesterday, something you probably already have on the phone. All you have to do is just show the people there you've got the app, and boom, you're in the competition. In the 12 o'clock hour, they'll give away an opening day theme prize pack with T-shirts and novelties. And the 1 o'clock hour, it's a Julio Rodriguez theme prize pack. Same thing, T-shirts, novelties. 2 o'clock hour, a $100 team store gift card. You can go get a jersey, a nice hat. I'm a big fan of hats, Dave.
What are you buying?
I'd get hats. I've got a hat thing.
Whose jersey?
Whose jersey? Well, probably Julio or Ty France.
I'd go Cal.
Would you?
I don't even know what number Cal is. Is it 31?
I don't know. I don't.
Baseball players, you don't know.
It's in the 20s.
I know Julio's 44. I don't.
Yeah, we know that.
I don't know Ty's number either. I don't know. I'm not a number guy. I know Junior was 24.
Yeah, but you would know the football jersey. Maybe not basketball.
So we've talked about it during training camp when they come up and tell us who the guests are. They don't say their names often. They'll say, you've got 27, 33, and 42. And I'm going, all right, where's the roster? Where's the Dave? Yeah. Dave, who are those people?
But baseball is even worse. So I don't even know what number Cal is, but I'm buying Cal's jersey.
29.
Thank you.
What number is Ty?
27.
23, right?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm asking you. Yeah. I don't know what his number is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'd probably go Julio or Ty. Coming out of spring training, I'd wear any of them. Logan Gilbert's number, whatever his number is, I'd wear that one.
Well, I have people that still call me 92. You heard Bosworth.
Yeah.
You know, and I wasn't a superstar. So, I mean, football, you just, like, that's how we used to remember phone numbers.
Jerseys?
I'd go, you know, Mike Wyman, Ken Orvik, 79, 73. That's going back to college. But I'm buying a Cal jersey.
Well, you guys can buy whatever you want. You don't have to buy a jersey. You can get hats. They got all kinds of stuff in there. Yeah. It's a huge team store. It's a lot of cool stuff. So in the 2 o'clock hour, 3 o'clock hour, they'll be giving away $100 team store gift cards. All you have to do is show that you've got the Seattle Sports app on your phone. Now, one thing that we just mentioned yesterday, we didn't really get into the discussion, and I'm trying to figure out if this is a good or bad thing, Dave, but the NFL passed a proposal yesterday that there's only going to be one cutdown day, from 90 down to 53, and that's after the final preseason game. Now, it doesn't mean a team can't make cuts prior to that, certainly, but I'm trying to say, what's the benefit to this? Because I was looking at it going, okay, let's say they make a few cuts here and there, but you still got a big roster. Let's say you've got, I don't know, 78 players, and you got to make those cuts after the last preseason game. It feels unfair to players in terms of their ability to catch on with another team prior to the season beginning, because you're after the final preseason game. I understand it gives coaches more time to evaluate players, but then you're still spreading those snaps out amongst a lot of players. So is there a benefit to this that I'm missing? Because onto the surface, I'm going, this doesn't feel like a great thing.
Well, I'm just going to brush this off and pass it on to John Schneider, who we'll talk to tomorrow, because I don't know, maybe it makes his job easier in some way. The first thing when I saw that, my mind went to less reps. You know, for a guy that's trying to make the team, you're getting less reps.
Because there's so many more guys you're trying to give reps to.
Right, yeah, because you're keeping everybody. And so I don't understand that part of it. I mean, I think that just makes it harder for the players. Because at first I thought, well, maybe it's an NFLPA thing or something. But, well, we'll hear from the man and, you know, he'll tell us. I know that he always says, John Schneider, that is, and we're going to talk to him tomorrow every week at 4 o'clock leading up to the draft. But, you know, I think he always says that teams are really open with each other about when, you know, the draft is like everything's locked down. You don't say a damn word to anybody.
Right.
But there you're more, you know, this is what I got. What do you have? I want this guy. What do you think? You know, and sometimes there's trades that are made or whatever. But, you know, a lot of, you know, we talked about those guys going to the pro days.
Yeah.
Right? You know, they're not looking at just the first and second rounders. They're looking at third, fourth, fifth. But they're also looking at the free agents. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, we scouted that guy. I like that guy. I want him. We looked at a lot of film. So when those cuts happen, you know, and they get, I think it's by, you know, the draft order or something like the, as far as the rotation of what choice you get.
Oh,
or who
right,
gets
right,
first,
right, right.
First shot at him. And it just seems like it would make, you've got a lot more to do in a very short period of time. But mostly I feel like it can't, I mean, there's no way that it gives players that are trying to make a team more reps.
Yeah, I just, when I read this and saw it, I'm like, I'm trying to find the obvious answer here. Like, oh, okay, I get it. That's why they did it. if I'm a player that's at the bottom of the roster and I'm just fighting, I'm on the bubble, I just need to find a way, special teams, whatever, all of a sudden, instead of the cuts happening, and I've made it to the final cut where, you know, the reps are being spread out amongst fewer, now potentially, and it, I guess it just depends on how aggressive teams are in making their cuts prior to this. This is the deadline. Again, they can make cuts leading up to this, and maybe they'll be diligent about it. Maybe they'll try to, you know, keep it in the way that it has been, to where it's just a handful of guys by the final preseason game. But if you don't do that, and a coach says, well, I want to look at all these guys, I got all these guys I want to see in this final game, it almost feels unfair to the player because, again, their ability to jump on another roster, that time has been completely condensed. And it just, I don't know, it just, on the surface, it doesn't feel like a great deal for the players. But yeah, maybe there's some obvious upside I'm not seeing on this.
Yeah, well, like I said, we'll hear it from John, but there'll probably be some good and some bad things. That, I'm just not sure who this benefits, because it doesn't seem to benefit either side, if you ask me.
Yeah, interesting. All right, we'll ask him tomorrow. He'll join us. Meanwhile, let's take two.
The NFL owners' meetings are winding down today. It's been a treasure trove of content. We have some good stuff coming up and sweeping the dial from the owners' meetings, but some more news coming out of it today. Former six-time Pro Bowl defensive end Calais Campbell signing a one-year deal with the Falcons. He'll be 37 in September, and this will be his 16th season in the NFL.
Yeah, I read this during the snapshot, and they said he will be the oldest defensive lineman in the active defensive lineman in the league at 36. So he's been productive, certainly. One-year flyer on him. I haven't seen any of the terms. Did you say that in there? Did you have the money?
No terms.
Yeah, I haven't seen any terms. I can't imagine it's for huge money, but this is a guy who's been, he's had a heck of a career. I don't know what's left in the tank. He had 5.5 sacks last year, but we'll see what he does with Atlanta.
Where's my Lefkoism?
Treasure trove.
I really liked treasure trove.
That's a normal phrase. Is that why you fell out of the seat to get the pen?
I didn't fall.
To write that down.
I didn't fall, but I had to put that in my list of funny things that Mike Lefko says. I love. Do you ever remember when he was Man of the Year a few years ago? I think it was after the 2019 mm-hmm. season. It was the most captivating speech I've ever heard. He was phenomenal. So great guy. But yeah, I mean, a D lineman making it that long. I mean, that's a
16th season.
I get it. If you're an offensive lineman, they've got a lot of durability, but. Yeah, for a D lineman, having those guys cut you inside, everything, it's pretty amazing.
All right, tough news for Dave here. MLB announced that the pitch clock reduced spring training games by an average of 26 minutes during this past spring training. Games lasted only 2 hours and 35 minutes compared to the 3-plus hours that they lasted during 2022.
I'm going to miss all that waiting.
See here,
I'm
Dave.
Really going to miss the waiting.
We left that stadium every day, Dave, going, man, that was fun, but I wish there was more waiting. We got tired of hearing it. Okay, Dave, we get it. You want more waiting.
Well, look, here's what I would say. I'm trying to be the voice of the fans. Because if you talk to the players and you talk to anybody that's doing media, their job is half hour less. Who doesn't want that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if we had a half an hour shorter show, we'd be fighting each other what to talk about, you know? And... You know, this to me is, let's wait and hear from the fans. But I know it's better for the players.
That's right. Good. Take two.
You're being serious with me right now?
Yes, I am.
You really are.
Yeah, that's right.
Take two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/cyberknife prostate. Coming up, does the Julian Love signing mean anything for Jamal Adams' future? We'll get into that next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Is Paul Moyer coming on with us today? Did we nail that down, or is that still in flux?
I'm asking. He says he can do after 3:30.
All right. Well, we'll figure out if Paul's going to join us today or
not. We can't go a week without him.
No. No, he's a mainstay.
That's what Mike told me to say to him.
Is that what he said? Yeah. Make him feel good, Dave. Make him feel good. Pete Carroll, they had the meetings going on out there. So you had all the coaches being interviewed and all, you know, a bunch of different stories coming out of there. A treasure trove of stories, Dave.
Yes, I love
coming
it.
Out of there. Mm-hmm. But Pete Carroll speaking with reporters, and they were asking him about the signing of Julian Love. And, all right, well, what does that mean now? Now Jamal Adams, ooh, are they going to do something? Well, you look at his His dead cap number is really punitive. It's like $23 million, $23.89 million, in fact.
You're talking about Jamal.
Yeah. So the idea, we'll cut him. Well, that's not going to be a good idea. So Pete was asked about, you know, hey, what does this mean? Does it mean you guys are going to do something? And he's like, no, we're going to play three safeties. We're going to, you know, what do they call that? Big nickel, I guess, or whatever. But maybe use him more in a kind of that linebacker role, sort of hybrid linebacker.
Hybrid, speaking of Paul Moore.
But, you know, because you've got Quandre, you've got Ryan Neal, you've got Jamal, you signed Julian Love. So what? Obviously, he's not going to come out and say, well, you know, we're thinking of making a change with Jamal. He's not going to say that. So what do you think of what he had to say?
Well, first of all, you know, as far as the dead cap number, that's as far as we know. And again, I think Michael Jannetty does a great job at Spotrac, but I'm not entirely confident that that couldn't be whittled down to something much lower. Just because
I think they do that when they restructure the deal, right?
Yeah.
But then that tends to add more years on the contract.
Right. So I mean, that's something they can do. But anyway, yeah, as far as those numbers, I'm always like, well, you know, but I mean, it's a general idea. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, it could be punitive. But I don't know. Jamal Adams, to me, let's just talk about him as a player. It did not work out as far as what they've traded for him. And, you know, I think
it did the first season.
Yeah. And then, I don't know. Did the receiver? I'm trying to think of who. There was an article of what they got out of that draft, and I just don't think it's close to what Jamal Adams can be. But I think fans are frustrated because, you know, of the injuries, and so that part has not worked out. But I don't have any doubt that if that guy can stay healthy, that he is going to play his tail off. You know, it's kind of a corny saying, but you know, when they say the guy plays like his hair is on fire, I mean, that really means something. It's, you know, it's like you're putting everything out there, and everything that you have is going to show up on the field. That's how Jamal Adams plays. So I don't have any doubts about his ability whatsoever. And maybe he got on the jugs machine in the offseason. You know, that's the one thing I think people thought, you know, that he doesn't have. I mean, he had a couple of dropped interceptions, one of which was really tough. I mean, it would have been a really good catch if he'd made it. And he also had a, you know, busted up finger and shoulder.
And
yeah, I mean, there were plays that he didn't make. I thought he could have had a knockdown at least in that playoff game if he didn't have his arm attached to his side.
Yeah.
I can imagine how, I mean, I used to wear a shoulder brace and it made it harder, but like his had like a, it was almost like a shock collar or something. I mean, it was just ridiculous. So, yeah, I don't doubt. And I think also the other thing is when this defense was really good, they had two awesome safeties, Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas. And Bradley McDougal was good
That's
for
right.
a little while.
He was really good when he first got him.
Yeah, he was part of the trade with Jamal.
Yeah, he was very good. And then he suffered that knee injury, and then he wasn't quite the same after that.
No, you're right. He did. And I remember Schneider saying, how come nobody's making a big deal out of this Bradley McDougal guy? And I remember thinking.
He played great.
Yeah, so, I mean, and then it went downhill when he was. But when you have the core of your defense is safety for whatever reason, and maybe it's just my own little thing, but Pete was a safety, and Pete coached safeties, and I feel like when you're solid with Quandre and Jamal and this Julian Love guy, I think that it could be really good for the defense. And like you said, big nickel, there was a lot of times that you know, that they didn't have three linebackers out there on the field. It's kind of funny because, you know, we talked to Max Strong. You know, we've talked to Luke Wilson. Tight end, fullback. Remember for a while their tight ends were going away. Everybody was going with 10 personnel with one running back and four wide receivers. That's starting to come back. Tight ends are a huge deal. Fullbacks, it's like I remember looking like half the teams in the NFL at one point had fullbacks where it used to be a mainstay. Linebacker. It's kind of going that way. You know, it's pretty much two linebackers. Now, if it's a 3-4, you got the outside guy. Technically, he's kind of more like a defensive end. But what I'm talking about are the second-level linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's starting to be a little bit scarce, you know.
I'm wondering if this plays, you know, if we're envisioning the right thing, but if they use him in kind of that, the way they did the first season, where he's up on the line, he's not dropping back into coverage, you saw how productive and how impactful he was. It's not like we've never seen it. There's a reason they signed him to the extension. That first year, he was electric. We were just raving every week. Do you see that play? I mean, he ran all the way from this side of the field to this side of the field. I mean, it was everybody was buzzing about it. So, and then the next year, I don't put that on him. I don't put the following year on him because you could point out everybody on that defense and go, what happened to Carlos Dunlap? What happened to this guy? Why are they dropping everybody in the coverage? They take him away from the line. So that year was a wash to me. And then, obviously, the injury happened. So if they use him the way they did when he first got here, that could be huge for this team.
Yeah, he was so effective that year. And what did he end up with?
Nine and a half sacks.
I guess more than any defensive back has gotten in NFL history. Yeah, you saw him lined up on the line of scrimmage. I like to say this all the time, but when somebody tries to block him, it's like a personal affront to him. It's like, he just destroys blockers, you know, even tight ends. He's not a small guy. It's funny, when he came over to our tent when we were out there after he signed and we're doing our radio show out there, I think he's 6'1", he's listed at, but, you know, he plays like a guy who's like 5'9", 5'10", like Bob Sanders.
Yeah.
You know, little guy. He's a big dude. He 220 pounds. He can play linebacker. And he can run like crazy. That's a guy that plays faster. I don't even know what he runs a 40 in, but you know what? I really don't care because I see
he's
what's happened.
Fast.
Again, yeah, I got a chance to go out to some of those practices during the pandemic, and that was the first year he was there, and I was like, who is number 33? You know, I mean, if you didn't know who that was, you would have been like, that guy is just all over the place.
To me, this is kind of exciting, the idea that they may use him the way they did when he first got here, because if that's how they do that, he is a high-impact player. He showed it. We saw it. We all watched it. He was everywhere. And hopefully physically he can be that guy that, you know, we'll see if he can, you know, maintain his health and be available. That's the biggest thing. But, man, if they use him in that way and he can stay healthy, that's a difference-making player right there.
Yeah, that was frustrating to watch that in 2021.
Oh.
You know, I don't know. He's playing a lot of deep safety.
I felt like we were in here every day before, after the show, during breaks, going, what are they doing? Why is you see what they had Puna doing? You see what they had Carlos doing? You see what they were going? I don't understand what's happening out there. So it wasn't just him.
Yeah, well, and look, it's nothing personal. It's just that, you know, I think Ken Norton got to a point where, you know, maybe that's not, I mean, I think, I don't know if he's a D coordinator. Is he back at UCLA? Or is it?
I don't know what his title is.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's a good coach, no question, but I just don't think he was defensive coordinator that, you know, he didn't have a lot of success anyway.
All right, coming up, you never know what to expect with this topic. Dave is back, and he might have some stories. We'll find out. And what's bugging Bob? What's bugging Dave? What's bugging us? We'll be coming your way next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
What's bugging Bob?
It could be traffic.
Hey.
It might be Angels fans.
I hate you. I don't even know you.
And it's definitely Stephen A. Smith.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
It's time to find out what's bugging Bob.
Well, Dave, you missed a doozy while you were gone. I was just trying to relay the story during the break to you.
So bummed. I missed that.
Well, it would have been perfect if you were there, because you would have felt very justified in your anti-technology stance or your paper ticket for getting on the plane, which I ended up having. And I told these guys at the end of the story that I was kind of sheepish walking up to the gate to get on the plane. Everybody had their phone and checking the ticket, you know, on the scanner, and I hand him the paper one because I'm a big dope. Here you go.
You should have been proud, Bob.
I was too angry to be proud, Dave. It was such a fiasco.
I wish we'd been on the same flight, because then I would have gone and gotten my paper ticket. And then when you were scanning your thing, I'm like, oh, what's wrong there,
How's
Bob?
That working out for you?
Do you think that would have helped your mood?
No. About as much as the guy that was saying, the kiosk is over there, sir. The kiosk is over there.
Was that the security person at the check?
Yeah, where they look at your driver's license and your ticket, and then you go and take your shoes off, put everything in the bucket there and go through security. Yeah, it was that guy.
Well, that's the thing, and I would say maybe, you know, what's bugging me, what bugged me. I told Mike this, that so I ordered the Uber right after our show. We get everything packed up, and I thought that was going to be a hassle on Friday. She picks me up, and then she drops me in this, like, industrial area. It was still at the airport, but it was where they take the cars and line them up and put gas in them and, you know, wipe them down and everything. And this guy's like, sir, what are you doing here? This is a restricted area. And I'm like, what? No, and I go, well,
you're
my
there
Uber.
With your suitcase and everything.
Yeah, everything. And, you know, the Uber dropped me off and he goes, oh, yeah, I saw that car. Luckily, this guy was super cool. He's like, I'll walk you up to where it was. But I mean, she's just like, yeah, see ya. See you later. I'm like, wait, what? Yeah. So that
were,
was.
Were you like, is this the right area? Yeah.
I'm like, where in the hell am I? And the guy's like, just wait right here and I'll walk you up there. It took him like 10 minutes, whatever he was doing. And I was thinking, oh, man, this is ridiculous. But yeah, there's always something. When you travel?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the worst feeling because you're generally, luckily, Thumb and I got there pretty early, so it wasn't a time crunch. But usually you're like, hey, man, they're going to be boarding here soon or you know, you're up against the clock. So luckily we had a lot of time. But yeah, anytime something goes on, whether it's the train breaking down or, time is of the essence at the airport generally.
Yeah, and you just get balled up and I'm sorry, I go to the bar. I mean, that's the first thing when I get through. I'm like, when are we boarding? And then
how many drinks can I do in that amount of time?
I told the lady in first class, like, I promise you my wife's picking me up. Can I have another? But no, last night.
I'm not driving. Keep them coming.
I sat next to this.
When you said that, had the plane taken off yet?
Yeah. No, they don't do it before they take off. That's why there's airport bars, Mike. This woman, probably in her 80s, 90s, whatever, and her name was Donna, and she was just awesome. And we were both kind of complaining about some of the technology things. And then there on the other side of the aisle, there were two sisters, and they were huge Rabel fans. Apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did they know who you were? Or were you like, well, what about me?
Somebody said something about our show, Bob.
Oh.
Yeah. And even mentioned Lefko. And I'm like, he obviously has been listening. And so she started asking me questions. And apparently they love Steve Rabel. I don't know why.
I was trying to talk him out of it.
Best. Yeah. I was like, he's a creep. What are you talking about?
Let me tell you what you got wrong about Rabel.
Yeah. No, just a lot of Rabel love. So that was cool. But yeah, I mean, that you're just always on. Like, your armpits start sweating. I mean, I just hate going to the airport. The whole thing. You ever think about getting the clear thing?
No, I don't travel often enough to worry about
it. I think
you travel much more than I do, but you're on the team plane. You go through it. It's a different thing.
Awesome.
You're highfalutin. So you're not used to hanging out with the common unwashed like me.
You're damn right.
So, it's a different stress. Traveling can be stressful. Flying can be stressful because so many things can go wrong, as we've just chronicled. And whether it's you, whether it's did I pack this? Did I forget to pack this? Everything. We got there and I was like, damn it, I forgot mouthwash. Damn it.
Yeah.
That was driving me nuts. It's my thing. I gotta have it. So, it's just the whole idea from packing to getting there. How am I getting there? Who's picking us up? There's a delay. The train's broke. Whatever. It's just a million things can happen from A to B. And it's not relaxing.
Well, and especially if you got to get up early. Really early, it's just the whole thing is really a nightmare. But I'll use Jen Mueller. Okay, so she's a sideline reporter, of course. Root, awesome, does a great job with the Mariners and everything. She's got the whole thing where, like, we had to go commercial one time. She's got the clear pass, and then she has an upgrade to first class, and then she goes in. And at one point, I was like waiting in a line. She goes, "I'm actually sipping a glass of champagne in the boardroom at Alaska Airlines." Yeah, and so I was like, you know what? That's really the way to go. But she travels a lot because of baseball team and the Mariners, and so it's not like they're putting her on the team jet. So she's got to go. That way. So
what does the clear do?
The way
that gets you through the security.
You go like right up to the front of the line.
Mm. Actually, you pay for that?
Huh?
Do you pay for that?
Yeah, it's like a yearly fee. I'm sure people will text it in. I don't know. Are we being cheap? It's like a couple $100 a year, maybe.
Well, if you don't, I don't know. It's more of a principal thing. I mean, we could pay it, but if you don't fly that, I don't fly that often, so it wouldn't really be worth it for me.
Yeah, right. But maybe I think next time, because that's the part that gets me the most stressed out.
Yes,
you're in the security line, and you can see, and it's like a ride at Disneyland where they like to loop it back and forth and back and forth, and it's just miserable.
I like when the person that's telling everybody, take your shoes off, if you've got a computer, take it out of the bag, put it in a separate tray, blah, blah, blah. I like when they lose their patience with people.
Yeah.
They were doing, the guy that was doing it, he seemed pretty cool, but the people in front of me disregarded anything he said and did the exact opposite. Like they stuffed everything. Who, Lefko?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I thought.
Yeah. He was ready to say something. I was just.
Oh.
No, go ahead. Yeah,
it's just they were telling him to separate everything. Take your, yeah. You got a laptop, take that out, put it in. They put everything into one thing. Their jackets, they piled it on top of the computer, yeah. And you see him go kind of like. Take the computer and put it in a separate tray. Like, did you hear what I said? You could see that all over his face. Like, listen, ding dong, I just said this, and you did the exact opposite of what I just said. I love watching that.
Well, that kind of happened to me unintentionally because
you tried to cram everything in one.
No, I didn't take something out that I was supposed to. So we had some bags of chips left over. Right?
You weren't going to leave that behind.
Well, he packed all the snacks.
I wasn't going to leave it behind. I threw all the snacks in my bag. So they're like six individual wrap bags of chips. So, yes, I am an experienced traveler. So I did take everything out, laptop, iPad, all that stuff. And then as the bag's going through, he's like, any food in there? I was like, no. Oh, yes, I do have food. So he has to grab it out of the X-ray thing. And then he just opens my bag, dumps all the chips onto the conveyor belt, not even in its own compartment, and they just go through that way.
You had like 19 bags of chips, like a snack pack. He took all the bags from a snack pack you buy, all those mini bags.
If only I had the crossbody bag to put my jelly beans in. Oh,
did they all get smashed?
The chips?
Yeah.
Some of them. Yeah.
But they still taste the same.
Yeah.
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 They held up better than I thought, actually.
The pretzels
made it intact.
I don't know if this happened to you guys. Belt comes off, pants go down. It's tragic.
They get a little looser, but they don't go down, Dave.
Yeah. I'm like, well, there used to be something back there holding it up.
Like a cartoon character in a movie?
I don't know what happened to my booty.
Dave's lost his butt.
Yeah. But, the whole thing is just so stressful, and, you know, there's always something that goes wrong.
Yeah,
so,
well, you would have felt very, very justified in watching.
Especially if I was there holding
the Apple wallet not working for you, Bob. What's going on with your Apple wallet? You would have really been eating that up, I'm telling you.
The only thing could have been better is if, like, I was there with my paper, and Goldie was there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Goldie was calling me a caveman because I don't. Of course Wyman has a paper ticket. Yeah, I'm like, all right.
All right. Coming up, the NFL draft is 1 month away, but are the Seahawks done making moves in free agency? We'll get into that next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports on 710.